this morning as we come to you, we thank you that you did not come to us because you were hitting us up for anything. You came just because of who we were, and you sought after us. We had nothing to offer you. We had nothing to give to you. There's nothing we could somehow share with you that would improve you at all. Forgive us for coming sometimes to you just to get something or ask you to do something and not just coming because of who you are. And I just want to pray this morning that we would worship, truly worship you, just for who you are, this magnificent God who has sent his Son to die on the cross, who sacrificed so much so that we might be part of your family. We're amazed at that. We come this morning to say thank you, Jesus, for the great sacrifice you made. Thank you, Father, for giving your Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming into our hearts and sealing us and being there for us, guiding and directing us and leading us through life and helping us in the times where we're really beside ourselves and don't know what to do. You're always there. And so we come this morning just to say thank you. May you be magnified. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Please open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. If you need a Bible and don't have one, we have some in the back that we'd love to get to you if you need a Bible. And just hold your hand up until the usher gets to you. One down here, I think. Chapter 6, we're looking verse 11 down through chapter 7, verse 1 this morning. We'll talk about perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord in the context of our study. Let me just mention, if you're new or visiting with us, we are going through the Bible. We're going through 2 Corinthians on Sunday morning. On Wednesday night, we're in the book of Judges. So we're always learning as we go through the Word. God's Word speaks to us, teaches us. Now let me, again, and I hate to be too redundant, but I just want to bring you up to speed on our passage. Well, let's read this first of all. Chapter 6, verse 11. Paul says, O you Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he believes with an infidel, an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? As it is said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be you separate, says the Lord. Touch not what is unclean and I will receive you and will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Verse 1 of chapter 7, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now again, I just want to remind you of the context of our journey. Paul has been dealing with the effect of false teachers on the Corinthians that had come behind his ministry and had affected their hearts. And this is what this is about. Oftentimes we use these passages about marriage, whatever, about it being unequally yoked together. But this is really any kind of relationship regarding that is unequal in any way, whether it's marriage or anything else. But Paul is specifically dealing with the fact that these Corinthians had been connected with unbelievers, false teachers, heretics, and it affected them greatly. It had impacted their lives. And so this is not just a passage on marriage. It is about any kind of relationship that you and I might have that negatively affects us, that negatively impacts us, or that somehow affects our heart towards the Lord or for God's people. In this case, particularly, it's the fact that it affected their relationship with Paul. And Paul was very aware of that. Paul recognized that and brought this out. So the context is one of, really, in some ways, this is a reproof. It is really, in some ways, it's like a disease, you know. Paul will point out symptoms. Here's the symptoms that I'm looking at. Then he's going to talk about, here's the solution to this problem. Here's the medicine you need to be taking. And then finally, here's the effect of that. Because, yes, it had affected the Corinthians with their relationship with Paul in a lot of ways. But more than that, it had affected their relationship with God. And oftentimes what we see in individual lives are symptoms. People have problems. And sometimes as believers, we're dealing with symptoms. We're only dealing with the outward, you know, we're trying to get a behavior change or an attitude change or whatever it may be. Or in this case, the heart. The heart was affected by all this stuff. But those are only symptoms. And if you deal with the symptoms without dealing with the root, then you really are missing the whole point. If you deal with the root, if you cut the roots out, then the symptoms will disappear. I just want to point out, as we look at what Paul's saying here, it's a very wise view of what's going on. Remember, God had called him to preach the gospel in Corinth. And he's noticing this attitude in their hearts that was not right. And he gives them the clear teaching of the Bible, what God has always said, quoting from the Old Testament, four different passages. But he realizes the problem, guys, that you're having is not with me, okay? The effect of all this is not between me and you. Ultimately, the effect's with you and God. I myself, Paul's really, in a roundabout way, saying, is just a symptom. And my point in all that is sometimes people have problems maybe with you or me. And their issue may appear to be with you or me, but it's just a symptom of a deeper problem, some other issue between them and God. And if we only deal with that, or if we only react, what Paul is doing is a faithful shepherd, if you will, of ministering, because he's dealing with the root issues in their lives that have so affected them and so affected their relationship with Paul. And that's what he's talking about here. So it's very important. That's why the context of a passage, the context of a verse, that's why when we go through the Bible like we're doing, it is so important to understand where we are, and it might be redundant. You know, I've brought this up again and again and again, but it is so vital because oftentimes you see these verses used out of context, and yes, they may apply in some way, but it's a very small application. And certainly it applies to marriage. But this passage is not about marriage. It's about anything and everything, including marriage, okay? So look, if you will, in our study in verse 11. We're going to look in verse 11 through 13. The fact was their affections had been restricted. Look in verse 1. O Corinthians, now this is a plea. In other words, Paul, as he's already said, I'm exposing my heart to you. I'm just being honest and very real, very open to you. So in verse 11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. We're sort of standing out here knowing, in some ways, that was the first letter. Paul wrote the first letter. And when you're very honest with somebody, when you're very confrontive with somebody, you're risking the relationship. But if you're going to try to help him, you've got to be honest. So Paul wrote the first letter with this statement in a way. Look what he says in verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. We're not holding anything back. Remember, he's already talked about it in our journey through this, about his motives. My motives are pure. What I did when I was there, I did because I believe God led me to do that, even though I'm being judged by it. So in verse 11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. And then he says, our heart is wide open. In other words, we love you. We care about you. We're passionate about you. We have this, and he makes mention this statement, we. It's not with just him, Titus. He's going to mention Titus later on in this chapter. But my point in all that is that our heart, and we can't let anything, and let me just say this, sort of tying in with the study, we can't let anything affect our heart negatively towards God or God's people or even unbelievers. Or another way to say that is the goal of the enemy is to somehow affect your heart and to harden your heart. We sang the song about, you know, my heart being hard. You know, we get calloused. We get old wineskins. You know, when you put old wineskins, get hardened outside. And there's a parable Jesus gave about that. If you put new wine in old wineskins, as that wine begins to ferment, it's going to bust the old wineskin because it's not flexible. And Paul is saying, in effect, my heart towards you has not changed. In other words, even your attitude towards me, you're questioning me or challenging me or disbelieving me or whatever, it's not affected my heart in a negative way. So my question to you is, are you letting or have you let individual people or individual situations or circumstances or whatever affect your heart in a negative way? Have you got bitterness? Have you got resentment? Are you angry at somebody? You know, is there a wrong attitude? Or another way to say that is this. Is your attitude towards that person or persons the same as God's attitude? That's one way to discern. And that's what Paul is saying in verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Even though you were attacking us and challenging us and disbelieving me and all that, I love you. I care about you. I would not write the things that I wrote in the first letter or the second letter had it been like that. And so one of the ways that you can tell sometimes is your behavior modified? You see, the Corinthian church's behavior had been changed and modified towards Paul. It had been infected. I want to say affected, but it had been infected by these false teachers. So he goes on to say in verse 12, you are not restricted by us. In other words, nothing that we're doing is sinful. Everything that I've said, even if I've been blunt with you and honest with you and rebuked you, it's out of a desire of love. So what did he say in verse 12? You are not restricted by, the word restricted means closed. Or it means withdrawn. So in verse 11, my heart is not withdrawn, my heart's open. But your heart, verse 12, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. You have these affections, you have these relationships, you have these connections, you have these individuals that you are associating with that have affected your heart. That's why your heart's changed towards me, not what I've done. Now, let me say this. Someone can come to us in love and correct us or rebuke us. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? But we can allow that to affect our heart if our heart's not open to correction. A wise man loves reproof. See what I'm saying by that? In other words, Paul could have corrected them and all of a sudden the devil gets in there and starts working. You can let other people in what they're doing affect your heart and your relationship. But here's the question. Is their heart evil? Is the heart really out to get you or to hurt you or to harm you? Or are they being motivated by a true heart? Paul is saying, in effect, my heart was motivated. And even the harsh things, the firm things that I said in the first letter, even though when he said it earlier, you know, I sent this letter out and I was concerned. I regretted writing it to you. He even says that because it was pretty harsh and firm and I regretted sending it. Even though he said, but now once I've seen what happened, what God did, I'm not regretting it. It's like you're saying something very cutting to somebody because they need it, but then you think, man, I shouldn't have said that. And now they may hate me the rest of their life. But then you think, can you not say something? Can you not deal with this? Can you not be honest? So in a way, that's what is going on with Paul. And he makes a statement in verse 12. You are not restricted by us. Your heart has not been affected negatively by us. He says, you are restricted, you are closed down, your heart is shutting down towards us by your own affections. You have these relationships. You have these individuals that you're connected with that are affecting your heart towards me. See what I'm saying? And maybe you've been around someone that may be a gossip or a slander. I mean, I think about gossip and slander. What is gossip and slander? Gossip and slander is when you say things behind someone's back and you talk, and it affects that person's heart towards that person you're talking about. That's why it's so damaging and destructive. So it's not just false teachers. It's anything and everything that you and I allow into our lives that are affecting our hearts in a negative way. You see, the heart being affected in this passage in verse 11 and 12 is a symptom. There's a problem here. Your heart is closed down. Your heart's restricted. That's what he's saying. Your heart's been affected. I see a symptom. This is not the root. This is just the symptom. So in other words, it's important to understand the logic. Paul is so logical in his presentation of Scripture, in his approach to a problem. And he's saying basically to these Corinthians that I've noticed. I've noticed something's happened. He says that in Galatians. He says that when he's writing to the church of Galatia, he says to the Galatians, to believers, and he says, look, he says, the more I love, the less I be loved. He says, this legalistic teaching you're under has affected you negatively, your heart, in Galatians. Well, he's in effect saying the same thing with this. Remember, what happened here was after Paul left his ministry and went away, there were false teachers, Judaizers, Jews that claimed to be Christians, running down Paul, talking behind his back, criticizing everything that he did, the way that he did it. And of course, that affected the gospel. It affected these people. And Paul is ultimately just saying in these first three verses, these are just symptoms. This is just the sign. Something's going on in the heart. It's not the fact that you don't like me or you're criticizing me. It's that your heart's been affected by this. So here's the Bible, what the Bible says. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Keep it. Watch your heart. It's so important that we are aware of what's happening. So we're in the world and we live in a culture that is so destructive and that does everything that it can to affect us. And yet we are to be very careful not to allow it to affect our heart in a negative way towards God or his people. That's the application of this. So here's my point in all this. In verse 1 through 11, he's saying basically, or 12 rather, excuse me, 11 through 13. Let's read this again. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open to you. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Another way of saying you're these relationships. Verse 13. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. I want your heart to change. I want your heart to be soft. Or another way to say that is, what do we do, you and I, when we find our hearts hard towards God, towards a person, towards God's people, towards whatever it is, towards an individual, even an unbeliever? We're to love our enemies. And it's easy to justify a hard heart by saying, well, whatever it may be, they don't like God, they hate God. Well, that doesn't make any difference. We're to love our enemies. We're to make sure that our heart towards people is the same heart that God has. And God wants us to love our enemies, then pray for those individuals that are our enemies. Unbelievers who may hate God, whatever it may be. God's warning us about this. That we don't want evil. We don't want anyone to go to hell. We don't want anyone to be judged in a harsh way. Even though we know that's ultimately the time. And sometimes in my life, because I'm sort of black and white, sometimes I know that, okay, these people are not going to get away with this, and there's some satisfaction in that. I got to be careful my heart doesn't get hard. Because God does not take pleasure, the Bible says, in the death of the wicked. So I'm only saying that because if we look at what Paul's saying, we think, you know, my heart's been affected a lot of times by a lot of different things. You may be sitting here this morning and your heart has been affected by something that's happened in a relationship with somebody or in a situation or a circumstance, or maybe between you and God because he hadn't done what you thought he should do or what you thought he ought to do. You know, we sing that song sometimes, that worship song that says that he never disappoints us. I think I've said before, I don't agree with that. There's a lot of times God disappoints me, you know, because he doesn't do what I think he ought to do. You know, but that's not my place. I have to just trust him. But he never disappoints in this saying he's always faithful. He's never let me down. He's never lied to me or deceived me, but he doesn't do what I, if I was him. And well, let me say this. If I was him, we wouldn't be here right now. It would have been long gone, okay? So, and you're going, thank God you're not God, right? Amen. So that's the symptom Paul's dealing with here. He's making that point very clear in our study. Look at verse 14 through 18. So here's the questions that Paul asks that are designed to cause these Corinthians to realize it. In other words, you're carrying these symptoms around in your life, and you're totally unaware of that. So let me ask you a few questions. You know, it's like a doctor, you know, probing. You know, our son, incidentally, if you pray for Jeremiah, our son, he's handicapped, and he's been in pain this last week and a half, and we don't know what the problem is because he can't communicate with us. He can't talk to us or whatever. So it's very disconcerting. But I would say this to you. That what Paul's doing here is asking questions to bring to the attention of the Corinthian church the seriousness of what's happened. In other words, Corinthians, this is not just some light little issue, no big deal. And that's what we do sometimes. We have this hard heart towards somebody. We think, well, you know, I'll get over it one day. Well, look what Paul says and ask yourself this. By the questions that Paul asks, isn't this serious? Isn't this like a terminal disease, if you will? You know, that's what he's saying, in effect. This is serious. Look what he says in verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So he's implying that they have been. You know, when you make a yoke, when you had two animals yoked together, the yoke had to fit both of them. If they were unequally yoked, you know, then all of a sudden maybe one, you get an ox and then you get a donkey. You know, that's going to kill one of them because they're unequally yoked. So this is about the fact that the Corinthians were unequally yoked. To who? To these teachers. It's like a believer that begins to go on the internet and begins to connect with false teachers or false ideas. And all of a sudden they're following their train of thought. And they're saying, well, I'm not unequally. Well, I mean, is it affecting you negatively? Is it affecting your relationship with Christ? That's why it's important that we examine ourselves this morning and say, Lord, how's my heart doing? David says in Psalm, Lord, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. The Bible commands us in the New Testament, prove your own selves, test your own selves, look at your own heart. So in a way, I'm asking you and me to do that this morning and say, is my heart negatively affected by anything, anybody, anything outside of myself? You know, the internet's great in so many ways, but it's also very destructive. So what does he say here? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's the verse that we usually use regarding marriage, and that's certainly true. Look at verse 14. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Is there any fellowship? Let me give you the meaning of these words. The word unequal, it means to associate discordingly. In other words, you are associated with someone that's, in other words, we want to gather on a Sunday morning with like-minded people, right? With people that love Jesus, that love his word. It's important that you, how can two walk together unless they're agreed? That's the same principle, same idea. So when he makes this statement, unequally yoked with a believer and an unbeliever, he says you're associating discord. You're a believer, but that's a non-believer. So he's saying that in effect. They're not unequally yoked together. But then he says, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? The word fellowship means partnership. It's not the Greek word koinonia, at least not yet. We'll see it in a minute. But it's the idea of partnership. Look what he says again. He says, what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? Well, they're completely opposites. So what he's saying is this is not just a minor issue. This is not just, okay, I've sort of strayed a little bit. There's a major issue here. It's like righteousness partnering with lawlessness. What happens when supposed righteousness becomes partnered with lawlessness? Well, the righteousness becomes lawless. You know, a corrupt official, a corrupt policeman, a corrupt individual that's supposed to be following the Lord, that's supposed to be righteous, and all of a sudden they're corrupt. Or it's almost like, you know, in the Christianity, a Christian that's stealing and robbing. That's what he's saying, in effect. It's the same kind of idea. It's the great contrast. So all these questions are designed to point out to the Corinthian church, you're associating and fellowshipping with people that are, what's going on in your heart? That's what he's saying here, in effect. Then he goes on to say, what communion has light with darkness? The word communion means partnership or joint participation. I mean, it's either light or dark. Light and darkness have no commonality. They're opposites. Verse 15, what accord has Christ with Belial? Belial is another word of the devil. The word means, accord means disposition of sentiment in company with. Christ has no similarities to the devil. Or the devil has no similarities with Christ. They're opposites. They're extremes. Christ is holy and righteous, and he's God himself. The devil is the devil. He's the epitome of evil. And Paul's bringing all this out. He's pointing this out. Let me ask you a question, Corinthians. What does this have to do with each other? What do these things have in common? What kind of relationship? What kind of connection? What kind of similarities? And they're going, well, nothing, nothing, nothing. They're the opposites. You see what he's doing? He's in effect saying, I thought you were believers. I thought you loved the Lord. I thought you were born again. And if you're born again and you love the Lord, then what is this for? Why are you doing this? It doesn't make any sense. And the Bible over and over again brings this out. Not all that say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but what? Whoever does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. You can't gather grapes from figs, you know, or from thorns, or figs from thistles. You can't get sweet water out of a bitter well, or bitter water out of a sweet well. In James, it talks about the tongue. You know, in the tongue, you know, it's like this well. He says, you know, it's like the tongue. You know, we bless God, but we curse men. These things ought not to be. Out of the mouth comes the abundance of the heart. It's not what enters into a person that corrupts him. It's what comes out. That's what, in effect, he's saying. So let's keep reading here. Look at verse 15. What accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean we don't reach out. It doesn't mean we don't reach out and communicate and reach out to unbelievers and love them and care about them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about, the Bible says in Ephesians, have no fellowship, koinonia, with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We're there to expose and let the light shine and expose the sinful ways so they can come to Christ. Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, but that's different than fellowshipping, connecting, and being intimate and having this tight relationship. It's completely different. So we have to understand, and don't take what Paul's saying here to the point of saying, well, I'm just going to, you know, be a monk in a monastery and shut the, you know. That's not what he's talking about. We need to reach out to unbelievers and care about people. But he makes a statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Or another way to say that is birds of a feather flock together. Evil communications, evil associations corrupt. In other words, if you want to live holy, don't hang around ungodly people and they're your best friends. Doesn't mean we don't go reach out to ungodly people and share Christ with them. But it's this, and how do we know? How do we know if it's a wrong relationship? Well, the heart. Our goal is to affect them. Our goal is to reach out to unbelievers and affect them, and to care about them, and to pray for them, and to share Christ with them. But we have to be careful that we don't allow them to change us and transform us into ungodly people. That's what Paul is ultimately saying here. That's his point. He makes it very clear. I mean, you can't get more clear than this. Then he goes on to say, what part has the believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? The word agreement, it means simply approval or assent. Idolatry has no place in the temple of God. And that brings him to these scriptures, these Old Testament scriptures, to validate his point. I will dwell in them, verse 16. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, Leviticus chapter 26. Then he says, and I will be their God, they shall be my people, Ezekiel 37. Therefore, here comes another verse. It brings out four verses. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, Isaiah 52:11. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Samuel chapter 7. We have to be separate. Or another way to say that is this. As a believer, I am separate. We've talked about holiness, and this is about being holy. Because holiness, by definition, is being separate. We're in the world, but not of the world. We've been saved out of the world. The Bible talks about do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Why? Because don't let the world program you in how to think, but be transformed by God's word in what God's word says. So if you are being conformed to the world, if you're being pressured and taught and instructed by the world how to think, what to say, that's wrong. Because we're not of the world. That's why we gather on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or home Bible studies or our devotional time. Because we want the word to speak to us. We want God's heart. That's why we're looking at this passage. And Paul is saying, look, this hard heart, it's like the world. The world's affected you. Something evil is coming. The symptoms are you got a hard heart towards me. My heart's not been affected by what you've done. We've been very open. Our affections. Oh, Corinthians. That oh, Corinthians is expressive of love. It's like my son. You feel like David, you know, when his son Absalom was killed. Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. That's in effect what he's saying. Oh, Corinthians. Our heart is open to you. Our heart is enlarged. We care about you. We want you to follow the Lord. We want you to be right with God. But your heart's been affected. Your heart has been infiltrated by this false teachers and the things they've said and they've this poison. And it's affected your heart and it's hardened your heart towards me. What's happened to you? Why, you know, and then he goes on to this extreme statements. He's pointing this out. Another way to say that is, what does a child of God who's born by the Holy Spirit and who loves the truth, who in essence is Christ himself, he is the way, the truth, and the life, what do you have to do with unbelieving heresies? Why are you listening to heretics? Why are you studying false teaching and false doctrines and false ideas that are not biblical? This is not the Holy Spirit. But the effect of this has been very negative on your heart. It's affected you. You don't like me now. Your heart towards me is restricted. It's hard towards me. You look at me as, you know, some alien in some ways, you know. But I came in there with the grace of God by the Holy Spirit. Preach the gospel. You came to the Lord through the ministry of the word. A church was formed. My heart towards you hadn't changed. Your heart towards me has. Let me just say this to you. If you've got conflict with people, it's so important that you say, is their heart truly out to get me? Or are they doing what they're doing because they believe they need to? It's very important that we think about that in light of, and even if their heart is evil, even if their heart towards me is out to get me, that does not excuse me having a bad heart towards them. I need to, you know, keep my heart with all diligence out of the issues of life. I've got to guard my heart and keep it and watch over it and don't let these kind of things. In other words, if something is affecting you negatively, what are you doing around it? If you're listening to things that are affecting your relationship with Christ or your relationship with believers, what are you doing listening to that stuff? Or if your fellowship, as the Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. If you're hanging around evil people, and ungodly people, not for the sake of sharing Christ, but you're just hanging out because you like hanging out with them, that's going to negatively affect you. That's why the Bible is very clear. Be separate. Be holy. The essence of holiness is separation. God is holy. What does that mean? God is separate. God is distinct. God is unique. There's nobody like him. He alone is holy. And the whole idea of unholiness is basically pantheism. Pantheism believes that everything we see is God. No, God is separate from creation. But when we're born again, we are immediately holy. God has separated us unto himself. He's cleansed our heart. He's given us a new heart. What is salvation? A brand new heart. God removes our heart of stone, gives us a heart of flesh. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. God's given me a new heart. And if God's giving a heart for him and a heart for God's people and a heart for the word, why should I let anybody or anyone or anything affect that? So my question is your heart being affected? Do you love the word now as much as you ever have? Do you love God's people the way that you always have? Has there been something happened? All of a sudden your heart towards a person is all of a sudden there's this root of bitterness or some kind of negative attitude? Or have you listened to gossip and slander? Somebody said something and all of a sudden you just sort of, well, what was that about? Tell me a little more so I can pray for them. You know, that kind of stuff. That's the danger of prayer meetings sometimes, you know. I remember, you know, you meet for a prayer meeting and you spend, you know, 90% of the time talking about the problems and then 5 minutes in praying. You know, we need to be involved in helping and serving the Lord and having the heart for God. There are so many opportunities. You know, I've said before, every one of us has so many opportunities to become bitter. We can get bitter at God because he didn't do what we think he ought to do. We can get bitter at people because somebody said something I didn't like. We get bitter at somebody else because they make a decision that I wouldn't have made. I've always been amazed at that in some ways, because oftentimes the anger comes not because you're stealing from them or robbing from them or doing anything wrong or sinful, because they don't agree with the decision. You ever notice that sometimes in your own life? It's just amazing. All of a sudden there's this anger towards you because you're not doing what they think you ought to do. And the bottom line is you're trying to do the best you can to follow Jesus. And that's just part of following the Lord. You know, the Bible says, if you love those that love you, what reward you have? You know, even the publicans do that. So we need to understand that following Christ, we make decisions, we do things that people look at us and they judge us and they criticize it and they don't like it because it's different from them or they say things. I remember when we got married and all of a sudden we had kids and we wanted to have, you know, celebrate the holidays a little different than I did growing up. And I never get my mom like heart attack. Are you saying we did a terrible job? No. You know, we just want to do what God wants us to do, the way God wants us to do it. And I remember mom having a hard time sometimes, some of the things we did, you know, raising our kids. And then she began to see the fruit of what God was doing. And I remember her coming and talking to us. But anyway, I'm just saying that it's very important to realize what Paul is saying here. So I would ask you this question. How is the condition of your heart? You know, maybe you need a cardiologist, okay? We have a cardiologist. His name is God, the Holy Spirit. He wants to test our hearts and see what kind of condition our heart is in. Paul is saying your heart's hard. And your heart's hard because you've not separated. You have been connected with the wrong relationships. That's what he says if you get in verse 12. You're not restricted by us. But you are restricted by your own affections. You have affection for these people that are false teachers. What's the deal? Then it goes on. Look, if it will, down in verse chapter 7, verse 1. The relationship restored. Because here, let me just say this again. And we all need to know this. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies at peace with him. And I like to look at that in light of this. So often, if someone is not right with me, it's not with me. It's somehow their relationship with Christ is not right. Does that make sense? So Paul knew that the relationship with the Corinthians, with God, was not right. And he's ultimately pointing that out. He's saying, your problem is not with me. Your problem is between you and God. Look what he says in chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, or in conclusion, having these promises, what promises? What does God say in verse 17 or verse 16 at the end of that passage in Ezekiel? They shall be my people. I will be their God. What does God say in verse 17? Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean. And then what? I will receive you. Verse 18. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? Here's the promise. If you separate, if you get away from these people, it's going to help your relationship with God. And when your relationship with God's right, then you're going to be fine with me. Paul has already pointed out in our study and journey through 2 Corinthians that the things that he's saying what God is saying. Saying the same things. Look in chapter 6, verse 1. He says this, we then as workers together with him, with God. Now with him is in italics, if you're using the New King James, which is what I'm using, which means it's not in the Greek. But Paul has said in chapter 5, the whole idea of we are laborers together with him. God is speaking through us. Look in verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 5. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us this ministry of reconciliation. God wants us to be used to reconcile people to God. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto themselves, not imputing their trespasses to them. God was in Christ doing this great work. Look in verse 19. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Look in verse 20 of chapter 5. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. God is speaking through us, guys. What is God saying? We implore you on Christ's behalf. What? Be reconciled to God. That's what he's saying in chapter 7, verse 1. Be reconciled to God. You see, in chapter 6, verse 1, when Paul is saying, we then as work together with God, Paul is in the same mode. He's saying to the Corinthian church, look, guys, here's what I'm going to tell you. Be separate, but I'm not telling you that God is. God is speaking. God and I are on the same page, is what he's saying. God wants you to separate from these people because your heart's been affected. So in chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises of the relationship and the intimacy and the fellowship with God, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Look at that, flesh and spirit. It's not just flesh. It's not just the physical relationships. It's the spiritual impact they've made. There's times we get away from ungodly things. But there may be ideas or thoughts or philosophies that are polluting our hearts and our spirits. That's what he says here. Let us cleanse ourselves, or what he's already said, separate ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Get away from these things. Then it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The word holy means separate. Perfecting holiness. Perfecting this uniqueness that we are his people. We belong to him. We've been born from above. We're followers of Jesus. We're in the world, yes, but we're not of the world. And what Paul is saying in a roundabout way is, look, evil communications, evil relationships are corrupting the good manners of your heart. It's affecting you. It's poisoning you. It's negatively. And I can tell by the symptoms. I can tell by your heart. I'm sort of examining with the stethoscope, and I'm looking at the heart condition, and I'm listening, and I'm hearing, there's something wrong here. And I know what it is. It's these relationships. Let me ask you these questions. You diagnose yourself. You tell me if these things are in agreement or in common. Or you tell me, is it okay as an unbeliever, or a believer rather, who loves Jesus, to hang out and associate in close relationship and fellowship with ungodly people who hate him and blaspheme his name? Is that right? The answer is absolutely not. And God gives us promises that if we'll separate from him, if we will be distinct and separate, God will be a father to us. And we'll be his sons and daughters. This relationship. You see, what he's saying is, what's happened, yes, has affected you and I. But ultimately, it's affected you and God. And God's given me this ministry of reconciliation. My goal here, Corinthians, is to reconcile you to God. Because I know by what your heart condition that you're not right with God. And that's the ultimate root of it all. And if you will separate, God will restore. God made promises. We have, therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And then we're going to perfect holiness. How do we perfect holiness? By the fear of the Lord. We have this awe of God. And I have this awe of him and respect for him, that he saved me out of the world to be distinct and separate, to walk with Jesus, to reflect his light, to be an instrument of truth. To love people, to love unbelievers, to love ungodly people who hate him. Pray for them. But I've got to be careful. Keep my heart with all diligence. That's another way to say this whole passage. Keep your heart, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's effective. So please ask yourself this. How is my heart? What is my heart like this morning? Do I have anger and bitterness towards a person? Let me just say this. If you've got a bitterness towards a person, you're not right with God. It's not the person that's the problem. It's not what happens the problem. The real issue is you're not right with the Lord. That doesn't mean you agree with that person. That doesn't mean you like what happened. But you have to love them. And you've got to just be at peace with them. And trust the Lord. God will deal with all this. He's ultimately going to do that. And maybe God's using it in my life. And maybe I need to ask myself the question, was the motive of that person really out to get me and harm me? Is that really what they're all about? And oftentimes, no, that's not what they're all about. Then why this reaction as if they're out to destroy you? So please, we want to live holy and perfect holiness in the fear of God. We respect him. We know that if we stray, if we get in these wrong connections, it's going to affect my relationship with God. That's where this idea of perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, the respect of God, this awe of who saved me. Or another way to say that is this. Do you think he's gone to these kinds of efforts, this kind of sacrifice to save you out of the world, just for you to go back to the world? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof. But he that does the will of God will abide forever. Leah, can the worship team please come up? Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we close our study, thank you again for your word. this journey through 2 Corinthians, it's so apropos to us. We're looking at a specific situation there in Corinth that had been negatively impacted by these false teachers that were gossiping and slandering and attacking Paul. And they were in a wrong relationship. They had joined themselves to these people. They considered them friends or fellow, whatever it may be. However they looked at them, they were in the wrong relationship. And even the relationship with Paul, Paul saw as a symptom of a deeper problem with God. And Paul is exercising that calling that he's given all of us. We all have a ministry of reconciliation. We are here to reconcile unbelievers to Christ. We want even believers that have strayed or wandered from the path to be reconciled back to God. And I certainly pray this morning, if there's relationships right now in this fellowship that are wrong or that are harmful, that are destructive, or that are tense, I want to pray for everyone's heart. Father, it's so easy to respond. It's so easy to get offended when someone does something or says something or reacts to us in a way that we don't like. And I pray we'd be careful. I pray we would be very careful how we respond to that. First of all, we need to ask the question, is the principle, I don't necessarily agree with how they did it, but is their heart right? Or are they trying to add assistance or help, even though I don't agree with it? Another way to say that is God using this in my life to help me to see a problem? And oftentimes we don't want to face our problems. We don't want to face our shortcomings. We don't want to be honest with ourselves. And I think in some ways Paul is forcing the Corinthians to be honest. And it's hard. No one likes when you go to the doctor and we're trying to find problems if there's a problem. Sometimes we avoid a doctor because we don't want to know. But I pray this morning as believers we would come and say, Lord, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Have I been negatively affected by a person or a situation or a philosophy or anything on the internet or friendships or relationships or teachings that are contrary to your heart, to your word? And then, of course, the question is, what do I do about it? What if I'm married in a situation it's hard, and yet you want me to live a holy life in spite of this? And so I have to be careful. I've got to be careful that we need to follow Christ and not allow these things. And it's a challenging situation. Sometimes we can't just walk away. It's not your will, of course. But we need to certainly, in some ways, make sure that I'm not being negatively impacted and my heart is being affected negatively by that relationship towards God. And one of the symptoms of that is my relationship with other people. Please, Lord, help me to be discerning. Help me when there is a problem, when I'm counseling with somebody, when I'm ministering to somebody, not to look at the symptoms. Let me understand and be wise enough to know what are the symptoms of being affected by wrong relationships. That's what Paul's dealing with here. May we also be discerning and realize it's not the symptoms we need to deal with. It's the root of the problem. And the root of the problem, I believe, in almost everything is people's relationship with you. If we'll get right with you, we're not going to have bitterness. We're not going to be resentful. We're not going to hate people. We're not going to be angry at everybody. It's not going to happen because you won't allow it. Because that's not the way you are. So I just pray this morning that you would draw us close to you. And if there are things that are affecting us negatively, may we be obedient and responsive to the admonition of Paul and the Holy Spirit as they're working together, saying, be you separate and touch not the unclean thing, says the Lord, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. That relationship is the great promise that God made to us, the great, wonderful fellowship, communion, koinonia that we have with God himself. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to bring us into that relationship. And we want to guard it with every bit of our energy. In Christ's name I pray.